Welcome to TBT, a movie podcast where we relive our childhoods through movies. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Miranda. And today we're going to be talking to you all about A Cinderella Story. I'm so excited, maybe.
Really?
I don't know.
I feel like you're lying to me right now.
I kind of am a little bit.
I'm so excited.
So this is kind of our royal wedding coverage a little bit. Like, I think that was like the genesis of the idea for this podcast.
Yes. But like, I wanted to do Camp Rock, but I was struck down.
There's literally
struck
like
down
no,
the prime.
I mean,
vibe.
At least like with a Cinderella Story, I would keep wanting to say Another Cinderella Story. That's not what it's called. That's the one with Selena Gomez and our fave, Drew Seeley. But
what's the one with Lucy Hale?
Oh.
I think it's Lucy Hale. It's not Selena Gomez.
No, but there is one with Selena Gomez.
I think you're thinking of Monte Carlo.
No, I'm definitely thinking of Another Cinderella Story.
There's
look
a
it up.
Cinderella Story?
Look it up.
I mean, like,
anyway,
well.
So yeah, this is like our, I guess it's like a princess fairy tale sort of thing.
It's as good as we're going to get considering we've kind of taken all of the good ones.
Olivia wouldn't let us cover A Prince and Me. I was rooting for it, but she said no. So if you have an issue, let her know.
Well, I was rooting for like Anastasia.
No one's gonna let you know.
You turned it down too. So
I mean, Anastasia, it's
over. Same thing.
It's a little different. Yeah. It's actually cool. Great. Are you looking up Another Cinderella Story, or what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is Selena Gomez.
Constant mic.
I know, I'm trying to read. Like, my eyes aren't what they used to be.
You can't read from 2 feet away from your computer?
Well, I'm trying to see who's in this picture, and it's Drew Seeley, and it is Selena
Gomez.
To be
fair, honestly,
Selena Gomez looks so strange.
Selena Gomez and Lucy Hale kind of look alike.
Yeah, I think they definitely are, like, cast for the same roles.
Yeah,
sure.
They have, like, round face, dark hair. Round face in, like, the good way. Not round face way, you know?
Yeah, same. Yeah, it's Another Cinderella Story is Selena Gomez and Drew Seeley.
Yeah.
And then A Cinderella Story, Once Upon a Song.
Oh my God, I'm going to throw up.
Is Lucy Hale. And then that guy who...
Who is it?
Freddie Stroma?
That sounds familiar, but it also just makes me think of like a stoma, you know, which isn't the best.
Yeah, he looks more familiar than... He's...
Freddie Stroma.
He's
hold on.
In Pitch Perfect.
That doesn't really help me.
He's in Unreal. He was the Bachelor on
Cormac
Unreal.
Cormac McLaggen from Harry Potter.
I mean,
Olivia just looked at me like,
okay. I definitely reckon the way the picture put
Cormac
me at
Cormac McLaggen from
he was
Harry
Adam.
Potter.
He
was the first Bachelor on Unreal.
Yeah, on Unreal.
Yeah.
It was good. He's hot.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Apparently has a music career if you... Anyway, sorry.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we're going to get distracted here. So this movie...
I actually don't remember him Pitch Perfect, but...
Literally not at all. Like, I... Nothing.
Like, and I love when IMDb is like, he's an actor known for Pitch Perfect.
It's like, no, he's not.
Is he though? Like,
he's known for Unreal and Harry Potter.
They're like, oh, it was a well-performing movie. He was an extra, but like, that's what he's known for. Like, IMDb, you make no sense.
Like, imagine being whatever part he was in Pitch Perfect after being in Harry Potter. Are you kidding?
He probably was though.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I was like, that's
like
how
that's
it works
that
now.
Was his trajectory.
Yeah. What part was he in Harry Potter?
Cormac McLaggen, he was like a douche canoe in Harry Potter. That like liked Hermione, but Hermione didn't like him in the sixth movie. And she's constantly like trying to get away from him. And he's like taking Ron's spot on the Quidditch team almost. I love the sixth movie. It's so funny. Like the sixth movie is the like teen movie equivalent to like one of the Harry Potter movies. Like it's not quite as much about like adventure and stuff. It is, but you know what I mean.
Wait, which one is that? Harry Potter
the sixth movie is when like Harry's making out with Ginny and like
it's Half-Blood Prince, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I wasn't a big I liked the fourth one's still my favorite. Goblet
the
of Fire.
The fourth one's good.
Goblet of Fire was my favorite book, though. So, like, it... I just yeah. love... The Triwizard Tournament's
it's
the
so fun.
It's so good.
You know, you get, like, Beau Battens and, like...
it really expands the Harry Potter universe, too.
It truly did. Like, it gave us a, like, worldwide perspective.
Yeah.
When you go to, like, the Quidditch World Cup mm-hmm. and, like, the Death Eater stuff starts getting real scary. Like, yeah, I definitely turn off that movie before the end of it. I'm not gonna lie.
It's the long... I think it's the longest book, maybe, besides the last one. But,
I think Order of the Phoenix was longer.
Yeah, I didn't like Order of the Phoenix.
Welcome to TBTA Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter. It's on our list, but it moves. It's like, for how long it was, I remember being a little kid, like,
written like a lot happened.
Like, yeah, like for a 700 or 800 page book, like I was so proud when I finished it.
There's very definitive acts, which I like. Mm-hmm. Like in this movie, I didn't feel like there were as many definitive acts as like Parent Trap. Like Parent Trap, you know where you are, you know what you're doing because everything is like very separated and, like I said, definitive. But anyway, getting back to A Cinderella Story, this is from 2004. It was 1 hour and 35 minutes long. How did that feel to you?
Watching it at work today, I didn't think it was too bad. Like, I felt like it moved.
An hour 35 is our sweet spot.
Yes.
For sure.
It didn't drag out. It moved the whole time. It was always, like, getting somewhere. It was great.
That's fair. I mean, some of the, like, texting conversations went a little long, but we'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Who directed this movie?
Mark Rossman.
What do we know him for?
Thank you. Set up punch. He also directed...
I just punch you in the face.
Seriously. He also directed Sorority Row, The House on Sorority Row, The Invader, and The Perfect Man.
What's The Perfect Man? That sounds familiar.
It does, doesn't it? I have no idea.
No clue.
It sounds like... I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be much more interested if he directed, like, Invader Zim than The Invader, you know?
Oh, I'd be about the same.
Great.
Honestly.
Our star of this movie is obviously Hilary Duff, playing Sam Montgomery, who's known for A Cinderella Story, The Perfect Man. Oh, that's why it sounds familiar. That's why it sounds familiar. The Lizzie McGuire movie and Razor Voice, because this like weighs movies heavier than like TV shows. Also, Lizzie McGuire, also younger. Incredible. I could go on. Younger is being a little bit ruined for me by, like, how annoying, like, Nico, whatever his last name is being. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I truly don't.
Okay.
But
I'll tell you later. He's annoying. Whatever. Okay. So, Hilary Duff is from Houston, Texas. Okay. I mean, I feel like she seems very Texas, you know?
Yeah.
And in 2003, Rolling Stone named her Teenager of the Year. Who do you think the Teenager of the Year is in 2018? Do you think Rolling Stone is, like, still naming a Teenager of the Year? Because, like, that's weird.
It's, like, almost inappropriate.
Almost.
Like, and, like, it was funny because when I was looking at these, it was, like, in 2006.
Oh, I think it's, like, Shawn Mendes, by the way.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Or maybe Bella Hadid. Maybe, like,
How old is Bella Hadid?
I don't know. I don't think she's 21.
Shawn Mendes is 6'2". Let's just...
Okay, that's not his age.
He's 19.
How old is he? He's 6'2", so it doesn't matter.
19.
I didn't realize how cute he was. He's so cute.
We were all sleeping on Shawn Mendes, and I just like to issue a formal apology to Shawn Mendes for all the times that I've confused him with Charlie Puth.
He's so much better than Charlie Puth.
Oh, clearly. Bella Hadid is 21. How old is Gigi?
Older.
Older? Gigi's older?
I thought so.
No. Oh, she is. I didn't know that. Yay. I thought that Bella was older. Bella looks way older.
Well,
no
because
shade.
Bella got to... Gigi got to model first. Like, from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I remember
I mean,
that
we,
Gigi
yeah.
got to model first.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was reading these, this, like, teenager of the year, and then, like, the next one was, like, in 2005, she was on Maxim's Hot 100, and I'm just like,
yikes.
Ooh, okay, like, I mean, like, great, be on Maxim's Hot 100, but it was just, like, a little too close for comfort on that one.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, it's pretty much impossible to find anything interesting about Hilary Duff, because she's pretty much the most vanilla human on Earth.
Well, that's fine. We talked about her for long enough.
We have, yeah. next up, co-starring Chad Michael Murray, who plays Austin Ames. He's known for are One Tree Hill, A Cinderella Story, House of Wax, and Freaky Friday. Some interesting information. He is a model turned actor from Buffalo, New York. He modeled for Skechers.
Prestigious.
Tommy Hilfiger and Gucci.
Actually prestigious.
Yeah, Gucci. It's like we're on a sliding scale. but he married his One Tree Hill co-star Sophia Bush in 2005 when he was 23.
I didn't know this happened.
I didn't know any of this
happened
either.
I also didn't. I don't think I know.
Very like salacious set happening.
Yeah, I don't think I knew who they were in 2005.
I didn't watch One Tree Hill. Yeah. After less than 1 year of marriage, the two signed for an annulment. And he was also engaged to actress.
That's dumb. You know they consummated that. You know.
Yeah, whatever. he was also engaged to actress Kenzie Dalton for a few years, who he met when she was an extra on One Tree Hill. That's so, weird. Like, that's awkward. And then in 2015,
Hashtag time's up.
But, like, no. You know they were pursuing,
stop
like,
dating your co-stars. Sorry.
In 2015, he married actress model Sarah Romer, and they currently have two children together.
Never heard of her.
Me neither.
Next up is Jennifer Coolidge, who we've talked about already, from Legally Blonde, and she plays Fiona incredibly. Like, she's so good. And you know her from A Cinderella Story, A Mighty Wind, Legally Blonde, and Robots. Sure. She was also a member of Groundlings, the comedy troupe.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
She's funny. She's great.
Yeah, it's interesting to think of her as, like, a Groundlings comedian, though. Like, it's a stand-up. Yeah. It's, like, a stand-up in improv troupe. So, it's, like, it would be interesting to see her improv.
She's very much a character, like, actress.
Yes.
You know, like, she always plays sort of the same person. She always plays this character.
Yes.
And completely. It's just...
Or, like, some kind of, like... She's not always, like, the bad... Like, she's not always the bad character, but she's, like, a very... She's, like, this person, either good or bad.
Yeah. But, like, sometimes she's this person, but she's poor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think she plays... wealthy very well either. Like
no, I mean she plays new money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, sure. I guess you're right. so also in this movie is Regina King, who plays Rhonda. You know her from Ray, Miss Congeniality 2, Armed and Fabulous, Enemy of the State, and A Cinderella Story.
Incredible.
Yeah, honestly, like she doesn't have like the worst credentials.
No, she's great.
Because I remembered her and it was from Miss Congeniality 2.
Oh, okay.
Yes. She's like the bodyguard partner.
And also in this movie is Kevin Kilner, who plays Austin's dad, not named apparently according to our notes. And the fun fact about him is that he's not Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, I thought he was, the only reason why I added, he wasn't in here. And then I thought the whole time, I'm like, is that Dennis Quaid? And it wasn't.
We had just seen Dennis Quaid, too.
And I was like, oh, we have two Dennis Quaid movies. That's weird.
Nope.
And then it's not. I have thought this guy was Dennis Quaid in my entire life. So.
Incredible.
Interesting.
Also in this movie is the guy from The Big Bang Theory. Did you notice? Like, the nerdy guy that, like, had his little guy. No, I'm saying in this movie, the nerdy guy. With, like, the bowl cut and stuff.
And he was the Matrix guy.
Yeah, he's, like, guy number 4 in The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's not Sheldon. He's not...
He's the shortest
Raj.
Guy.
He's not... What's the main guy's name that's not Sheldon? Leonard? Is he Leonard?
No, he's not Leonard.
Okay, I don't know his name.
He's the guy with the mom.
Yeah. The guy with the mom.
Like, with the mom, though.
He's the guy that's dating that blonde girl. But not Kaley Cuoco.
Yeah.
The other blonde girl.
I don't know who's dating on the show.
My parents watch the show a lot.
I have seen it. I just
everyone's parents watch the show. That's why it's
exactly
on the air.
That's why it's rated number one.
Big Bang Theory. I saw this on the internet somewhere. Big Bang Theory is like the Nickelback of TV shows. Think about it. Let it marinate and then get back
to me. I feel like NCIS is like the Nickelback of TV shows because it...
That's fair. It also starts with an N.
Exactly. But like it's rated... It's like number one in weekly polls like every week. I'm like, I don't know a single person who watches NCIS.
Yeah, but like do you know any 85-year-olds? My parents watch NCIS.
My dad sometimes does, but like he's the only person.
Yeah, I don't think they're like... into it. I think people just watch NCIS because they like don't remember to turn the channel from CBS, you know?
I wish people would do that with this podcast. Like,
yeah, but like this podcast you have to like actively
NCIS numbers.
You have to like actively seek this out, you know?
Yeah, but even if I'm flipping through channels, I'm not going to watch NCIS, you know?
I thought you were gonna say even if I'm flipping through channels, I'm not gonna watch this podcast.
No, I would totally watch
if this podcast was on like, you know, what channel? If this podcast YouTube, was on like, a channel. A lot of if this podcast was on a TV channel. What TV channel would it be on?
Well, I feel like Disney Channel.
No, but like we bag on Disney Channel too much. Maybe like Freeform.
Yeah, like a Freeform. Not MTV. We're not like we're not scandalous enough for MTV.
No.
But like we're not Bravo enough for Bravo.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say maybe a Freeform.
Yeah, we talk about Andy Cohen enough for Bravo though.
Like I would try to weasel in. But like we're not.
I just pictured like your head on like a weasel body. I just need you to know.
I wish somebody, like, weasel would be great. Like,
my body to a weasel.
Like a meerkat. I wish I could be, like,
oh my God,
really,
don't
like,
even talk to me about meerkats.
Tiny little skinny. All right. So the box office performance of this movie, it was a $20 million budget.
Estimated. We don't know.
Yeah, estimated. Around.
How do they estimate that?
I don't think they're giving out, like, their budget breakdown, but no.
I wish they would.
Estimated.
I want literally everyone's budget breakdown. I want to know how much money every single human on Earth is spending. I think, like, Refinery 29 or Bustle or one of those has this thing where they, like, do, like, money diaries, and they'll be like, I'm 27 living in New York City on a $120,000 salary. Here's everything I bought in the last week. And that's, I'm like, I need, like, I just want that on, like, a constant feed going past my eyes. Like, I just want to judge these people based on what they're buying.
Okay, so.
Where did we leave off?
Box office performance, the budget was estimated $20 million, $13.6 million domestic opening weekend with a wide release, which, like, it wasn't that great. $51.4 million U.S. gross, $70.2 million worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, 305 to Worldwide. But it spawned three straight-to-video sequels, which is, like, kind of strange because I don't feel like it performed that well.
Three? Who's in the third one? Selena Gomez, Lucy Hale, who's in the third one?
I don't know.
It's, like, Debbie Ryan or something, you know?
Probably.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through the trivia, first trivia fact on this while Olivia's looking up who was in the third one. So Rupert Grint apparently won the role of Austin, but had to drop out due to commitments to Harry Potter and The Prisoner of Azkaban in 2004. I don't know why you put the date after Prisoner of Azkaban, like we all know. It would have been a completely different movie because it would have been much more believable, I think, that, like, Rupert Grint was, like,
no,
brooding and, like, I don't know, Rupert Grint always looks like an idiot. I don't know. Like, he doesn't look like the hot jock that everyone's, like,
salivating
over. Yeah,
how would he play Chad Michael Murray's character?
Like, I don't know. Prisoner of Azkaban, like, he's young.
Yeah, I cannot
Chad
fathom
Michael Murray
this.
Also looked really young in this movie, though. He was, like, really skinny. Like, he was skinnier than
skinny.
I remembered.
He has such a good face.
I was like, you're not playing
but
football.
But he's very... Yeah, there's no way that guy's playing football. He'd die playing football.
Yeah. He's, like, obviously not playing football at Princeton. Like, no. Maybe you can play football at, like,
a
D3 school like my brother did.
He wasn't trying to play football,
like,
at Princeton. He was trying to be, like, an English major. Because I don't think... I think it was, like...
Terrible
even
text.
Worse, he was trying to play football at USC. Like,
oh my God.
But also, since...
Dad was trying to get him to play football at USC.
In what universe are Rupert Grint and Chad Michael Murray auditioning for the same role? Like, what agency is like, oh yeah, they're like the same.
Yeah.
Like, who is sending out those pitches? Oh my, I just... That
horrible.
Blew my brains. Okay, so the third installment of A Cinderella Story is... A Cinderella Story, if the shoe fits.
Ew.
And it stars Sophia Carson.
Oh my god, I love her. Sorry. She's the girl from Descendants that you think is prettier than Dove Cameron.
Yeah, she's cute. She's cute.
She's in Famous in Love this season.
They literally all look the same.
They all have the same, like, heart-shaped face, dark hair.
Except for, also, this
girl. I mean,
girl,
I'm into it. I'm Sophia not mad at Carson it.
Has, like, gorgeous eyebrows.
She's so pretty.
She is so pretty.
It's, like, annoying.
Like, she's different looking, but she's, like, very, she looks different than, like, you know, the normal pretty, but she's very pretty. She's cute. I think she's more cute than, like...
She's a little old. I don't know if I can say that, but she's 25.
Oh, really?
For, like, one of those Disney
she
people.
She looks young,
because you think of her as young. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, she looks way younger than she actually is. But, like, if you watch her on Famous in Love or something, she, like, carries herself as older, if that makes sense. It does. How many Instagram followers do you think Sophia Carson has?
250. Oh,
she's in the new Pretty Little Liars spinoff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, called The Perfectionist, which looks so good. I'll watch the shit out of that. Mona's in it. Sorry.
I'm guessing she has 250K?
She has 10 million followers on Instagram.
Oh my god, there's a lot of children. She was in
Descendants.
Instagram.
What are you talking about?
I mean, okay.
How many did you think Dove Cameron had?
I was thinking like 5 million for her. 250K was obviously
Dove
very,
Cameron
very
has
low.
17.9 million Instagram followers.
That is shocking. So the romantic kissing scene where the characters make out in the rain at the football game was filmed on the third day of shooting, which is a little bit awkward. The scene had to be reshot many times because the rain had to hit on a certain spot on Chad Michael Murray's face, which is like very distinct from the scene. It like lands right on his cheek.
Yeah, it looked digitally put in there. It didn't look like it actually happened.
Is there like somebody in like scaffolding somewhere, like with a dropper? Like,
oh my god, with a little pipette?
Yeah, exactly. But I think like for that splash effect, they probably like splash. Yeah. Like what? I don't know. But
like raindrops don't do that. So they like land and roll off.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's a fat raindrop. It's like splashing on your face. Too. Also, like you have to be like turned sideways for like the splash. It was very odd move.
But I hope they dropped it from like here.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have to drop it from the scaffold.
Yeah, no, I'm saying to get like it was just yeah, it was weird.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was odd. But like would it be the worst thing in the world to have to like make out with Chad Michael Murray?
I mean, Hilary Duff has done worse. You know, Paolo.
For sure.
For sure.
Did they make out?
I don't think they did, actually. It was Gordo. Worse.
Much worse. Much worse. But that was, like, the worst kiss ever. Like, it's, like, there's, like, making out, and then there's, like, Gordo kiss. Yeah, there's, like, Disney kiss, you know?
Yeah. Yikes. So, the opening of this movie uses the song, This Will Be.
Again. And I think it's the closing does too. They close it. I think it's the close.
I don't think it was. I think it was something different. But maybe. I don't know.
It was because when it was closing, I was like, oh my god, this is the Parent Trap song, like full circle.
Okay. But yeah, by Natalie Cole, which is the same music used in the credits at the end of The Parent Trap. Which is hilarious because in the last podcast, I thought that The Parent Trap opened with this song, but I must have gotten confused. You know, yeah. I must have like gotten it mixed up.
Sure. It happens.
It's my excuse.
We all make mistakes.
Okay.
Just some of us more than others.
Everybody has those days.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Everybody gets that way.
Yeah.
You're close. It's fine. Yeah. You know what they say. Everybody makes mistakes.
So I've heard.
Okay. So you can find all things TBTAMP at TBTAMP.com. Yeah, also tell a friend. It's really helpful.
Yeah, rate this podcast in your Apple Podcast app. Scroll to the bottom. Give us 5 stars.
So easy.
Spread the word of TBTAMP as you would Jesus Christ.
Yes. And don't forget that we sell stickers and phone cases and like all that stuff on our Redbubble. And you can find that link on tbtamp.com. There's a little shop button up at the top. Or that will also be in the description of this podcast. If you just scroll down on your podcast app, all you got to do is scroll. All we're asking you to do just is scroll.
And also if you want to send us your questions, comments, just want to say hello because you love me.
Yeah, please just say hello.
Yeah, email us at tbtamp@gmail.com. If you want to follow us personally on Twitter or Instagram, you can follow me, Olivia, at MacIsCheesy. That's M-A-C-K is cheesy.
You can find me, Miranda, at MirandaJohnZon, MirandaJohnZon. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. Oh. Moving right along.
Moving swiftly forward. Do you want to start or should I?
I think I should start.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. So Sam Montgomery lives in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles.
Specifically, she lives in North Hollywood.
Really?
The address on the letter that she gets from Princeton said North Hollywood.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Good note. So she lives in the San Fernando Valley of LA with her widowed dad who owns a diner. They have an amazing relationship and life is basically great until her dad meets and marries Fiona, and she and her two daughters, Brianna and Gabriella, enter Sam's life. Sadly, Hal, or Sam's dad, is also killed. Also known as
the Black Hood. Spoiler.
Oh, yeah, true. Is killed while saving Fiona during the 1994 Northridge earthquake. And without a known will, everything he owned plus guardianship of Sam is given to the new step monster.
I need to correct that Black Hood thing. It might be different now. Because, like, this is coming out on Thursday. The Riverdale finale will be on Wednesday. So, like, maybe we'll know more details about the Black Hood.
I thought you were going to go into the earthquake.
No. It's all about Riverdale.
Okay. Well, it would have been helpful for you. Because I'm like, oh, I didn't live in California. I have no idea what that is.
No, I don't remember that. I feel like that earthquake was a thing, but I'm not sure. Okay. Like, I feel like I've heard of the Northridge earthquake.
Yeah, I've definitely not heard of it. So I was like, oh, she lives here.
I was too far away.
Yeah, that's probably true. Sam is forced to move from her room to the attic, and life continues.
It was a real earthquake, sorry.
Basically. I kind of figured.
But it happened at 4:30 in the morning. So, like, they wouldn't have... Yeah. Like, they would have been sleeping. Been, like,
hanging out. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, they, like, never show any, like... How did her dad die if there was, like, no damage to the house?
I think Fiona killed him.
Yeah, because there was no damage to the house.
Like, so. Fiona, like, pushed him, like, next to a dresser that was going to fall
over. Yeah, I assume, like, a bookshelf, like, fell on him or something.
Yeah.
Because, like, if there's no damage to the house...
An armoire, just, like, perhaps?
Yeah, it's very vague. It's very vague.
Yeah.
So this intro, okay, so also they have this weird intro where it's like a drone shot through like mountains.
And I mean, it's like, not a drone, it's like computers.
Whatever. But. A drone shot through mountains and then it like comes up on this like castle.
I think it was Neuschwanstein in Germany.
Okay, but it was like kind of animated, kind of not. It was very strange. And I thought I was watching the wrong movie until like Hilary Duff's voice came over.
Yeah, and Hilary Duff has like an iconic voice. You know, like she has a specific dulcet tone that like I definitely do. She's very.
A little whiny. Yeah. Whiny is the word I was thinking. Whatever word you just used is very nice and sounds lovely.
But dulcet is the word that I use.
She's a whiner.
Yeah. But she's also a winner. You know, it's fine.
Sure.
If she's a winner, like at one point, most of this movie, she's not. Here's what I want the listener to do. Every time we say Fiona, I need you to think of Fiona from Shrek.
I think
and
that
just
too.
Like think of how different this movie would be if it was like Fiona from Shrek.
But like
so stop. We flash forward 8 years and Sam has become Fiona and wait what? Oh, Sam has become Fiona and her stepsister's slave at home. And she's also employed at the quote unquote family diner. Despite their communal hatred for their boss, no one has quit working at the diner after all this time. Look, jobs are actually really not that hard to come by in 2004, but you get what I mean. So Sam and her best friend Carter roll into school, and they are cut off twice in the parking lot, once by the Queen Bee cheerleader Shelby Cummings, and another time by the quarterback Austin Ames. Despite being fairly normal looking, it becomes apparent that Sam is not exactly popular. I don't know what you mean by normal looking. Like, Hilary Duff is beautiful.
No, she's like super cute. Well, I think they like
if Hilary Duff went to your school, she would have been like the best looking girl in school.
I don't know. I feel like she's pretty normal looking. Like, I feel like she's not like...
I feel like she's movie normal. But, like, if you saw Hilary Duff in real life...
Yeah, I don't know. Like, she's never, like, I don't think she plays, like,
Let's not body shame people.
I'm not body shaming her.
No,
I'm
just saying, well, like, you kind of are, because, like, face is body.
No,
you know?
But, like, her characters, she doesn't play, like, the pretty. She's like, never Lizzie played, McGuire like, the is not, girl. Like, the pretty popular girl, you know? Yeah. And that, but it's weird because, like, she looks like a totally normal person, but they act like she is, like,
a troll.
They act like she's a troll, and she's, like, a very cute, normal girl.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying, she's, like, a cute, normal-looking girl. She, and, like, they put her in, like, normal clothes and, like, you know, and then they treat her, like, everyone treats her like she's, like,
I think your bike has a flat tire from backpedaling.
I'm not backpedaling. I fully, like, committed to what I was saying. She's not cast to play, like, Lizzie McGuire. Like, the thing that I know her for, Lizzie McGuire, is, like, she's the klutzy, you know, odd girl. She's not like
she has like two friends.
Yeah, she's not like the pretty girl that, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she could be, because she's very pretty, and like they make her seem like she's a troll when she's not.
Speaking of making things seem like trolls when they're not, I know I'm supposed to hate it, but I thought this diner was actually pretty cute. Like, the pink and everything. Like, I know it was supposed to be, like, annoyingly pink, but I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I didn't think it was... I feel like I've been to diners that are worse.
Yeah, like, sure. It wasn't overly... I don't know. I think it was just that before it was, like, a grease ball of an establishment, but now it's, like, cute and, like, pink. Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Summary that, like, I started out with, like, made it seem like it was, like, she ruined this diner, and I just kind of thought, I never noticed it before. I was like, oh, I thought it was cute, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I didn't think it was bad.
I'm not a diner person to begin with, so, yeah. Like, they all look the same, whether
also,
it's pink or blue.
Yeah, watching this in 2018, it was like the scene in Series of Unfortunate Events where they're at the restaurant in the ersatz elevator. Ersatz? I don't know how to say that. And the restaurant is salmon themed, and like everything has salmon in it. It was very reminiscent of this.
Yeah, this
scene.
Must be an expensive diner too, because
salmon, it's not cheap.
Things. Yeah, salmon is not like a cheap food. And also, there's a different. And I didn't get the whole salmon and all the food thing.
No, I think it was just that like she was trying salmon because
yeah,
I don't think.
But like, why would you serve that at your restaurant? Like. Just because I'm on a salmon diet doesn't mean that, like, everybody has to eat exclusively salmon at my restaurant. Like, it was just
because, like, you're trying to make money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and
that's
like,
a bad
it's
business.
Like, if I only eat caviar, that's, like, not going to be the thing that I serve at my restaurant because...
I mean, I feel like the margins on caviar are pretty high.
Yeah, that's true. So, but, like, definitely not very high on salmon, I don't think.
I feel like they are. I don't know. Salmon when you get it in a restaurant is much more expensive than when you get it, like, just at the grocery store.
Yeah, but, I mean...
Salmon. And also, I didn't realize that, like, people had G-Wagons in 2004, but Austin Ames definitely drove a G-Wagon.
Oh, yeah,
I was like,
sure.
Whoa, Kardashian.
Car, oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, his car was, like, even nicer than, like, the super fancy Mercedes.
Yeah,
like,
I was like, your dad, like, washes cars. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, and, well, in the, Fiona's car, like, Fiona has a Jag, but, like, her Jag looks, like, old, too. I'm just, like, you can't throw in a G-Wagon
and
then,
so
like, try
like,
to make, like,
so
a
did,
Jag, an old Jag look cool.
So did Carter's, like, dad's Mercedes. I was also like,
yeah,
okay,
I was, like, older.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So flash forward. Oh, wait, no, that was you.
No, I think we're, yeah.
Oopsie. Flash forward to the next paragraph. Sam is in an online/texting relationship with a guy she only knows as Nomad.
Which we need to bring in Neve from Catfish. You know, he really would have gotten to the bottom of this real quick.
Yeah, but like it would have been the one like positive thing.
A
They're
catfish?
Never hotter than you think they are.
No. A catfish themed restaurant would be even less successful than a salmon-themed restaurant.
Yeah, catfish is a tough sell.
I've never had it.
You can't just put catfish with everything.
No.
Yeah, but this Nomad is actually Austin Ames, the uber-popular star quarterback of the school's football team. They each confide in each other about their dreams to attend Princeton University and make plans to finally meet at the Halloween slash homecoming dance.
They want to go to Princeton, at least what's her name does, Sam does, because her dad said that, like, oh, you're going to be a princess. She was like, where do the princes go? And he, like a dumb person, said, oh, they go where the princes go. They go to Princeton. Which is, like, princes don't have to go where the princes go. Just
But, like, saying. It's kind of funny that, like, he came up with Princeton on the spot. Like, this also...
It's also, like, a good place to get your kid to want to go.
Yeah, but it's also, like, one-track mind. Like, I have to go to Princeton. Like, you could...
Mm-hmm. I feel like Princeton's also, like, the most boring Ivy. Like, you hear the least about Princeton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But,
You don't hear about Penn a lot, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say UPenn maybe might be worse, but... Yeah, they're both kind of the same. So Austin's picture-perfect life isn't necessarily roses, though, as his dad desperately wants him to play football at USC.
My life is so hard. My dad wants me to go to USC.
Don't get me started. Then manage the family car wash business rather than support his dream of becoming a writer.
Well, my dad has a pre-established career for me that's going to make me so much money.
However, like... Is owning a car wash that lucrative?
I don't... Apparently, if you can buy your kid a G-Wagon...
I guess in LA it is, because it runs year-round. But yeah.
Wait, in Missouri, car washes don't run a year-round?
No, if it's below freezing, you can't... If they don't...
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. I've literally never thought about that before.
Yeah.
Literally never.
Yeah, so actually, probably 80% of the country...
Maybe it was like a chain of car washes, because I can't imagine, like... One car wash, you're making that much money. Like, people get their car washed at, like, gas stations.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't...
You know? I don't...
Yeah, it was weird. Like, I can't... Yeah, I didn't get that. That seemed a bit of a stretch. But, like, how... A diner owner doesn't have the kind of money that they have either, so...
That's... Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Yeah. That diner was never busy enough to, like, warrant the kind of money.
I don't know. It
had, or the staffing.
Seemingly regular customers when they were there and, like, all the kids were there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For all, like, the places in LA.
There's a reason why, like... Well, North Hollywood is not as good. But, like, Austin Ames is there. It's a little Clueless-y. Like, Clueless is also set in the Valley like this. And it kind of reminds me of that same, like, oh, kind of thing. You know what I mean? You don't. Because you haven't seen Clueless. It's fine.
No.
The whole texting thing is really a strange thing to do, I feel like. Like, who's texting weird random people and, like, anonymously? Like, I don't know.
Well, and they met on a Princeton chat room.
Yeah.
Online.
Maybe they were
people from your high school.
Maybe they both said, like, oh, I go to this high school, this is my GPA, like, these are my SAT scores. Because I feel like when I was, like, getting ready to go to college, there definitely were things like that. But I don't know, because you would sort of compare yourself to, like, figure out, like, what's the best thing to do, like, what are the best SAT prep books to buy. There's a whole, like, community of people that, like, prep for college, but I don't really see...
Yes, I've heard. Jesus.
They're called seniors in high school.
Yeah, they're called high school students.
But I also feel like at my high school, everyone sort of knew, like, which colleges people wanted to go to. And, like, the kids who all had a chance of, like, going to an Ivy, like, they all knew each other.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, for sure.
Yeah. No, the fact that, like, we've seemingly, like, she's lived the same place. They both lived the same place their entire life.
Presumably, so they're all taking AP classes. I mean, she knows him. He doesn't know her.
But, like, they've grown up together, basically. Like, if I went to the same school with people for 12 years, you would think they would, like, he would at least recognize her.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
Because they're in the same grade. Like, it's not even that. Like, they've definitely had classes together.
Seems a little segregated. Like, she's just hanging out with this, like, method actor Carter. I don't know. He was so weird.
Yeah, it was a very strange best friend character, but okay.
Yeah, and I feel like now this doesn't really work because I feel like the internet is so much less anonymous now. Like, I feel like now everyone is sort of associated with, like, their own, like, Facebook profile, and, like, I don't know, everyone, like, uses their names.
People are a lot less scared.
No, it's clearly better.
Yeah.
It's clearly far better. But I just don't think, like, this would happen.
No, and because everything you do, well, like, chat rooms are obsolete. That's because, like, it's weird. I think it's kind of basically the Tinder effect, not in the swiping, but that like to have another profile, you have to link it to your Facebook.
I know,
so
that
like everything, you have to have a Facebook to be like, yeah, to do anything else. And it's like, it
you log into you. Everything with Facebook. That's why Facebook has like so much data. Yeah, it's like
it associates you with everything.
But here's my question. I get that they're in high school, so they technically like wouldn't be allowed to have Tinder. But if
what?
Austin, you have to be 18.
That's if, a joke.
Okay. If Austin had Tinder and so did Sam, do you think Austin would swipe left or swipe right?
I think Austin is the kind of guy who swipes right on everybody.
I feel like Austin's the kind of guy who like thinks that he's like, oh, I'm totally swiping right on the bio, but like he's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he is the guy who sits there and, because I know guys do this a lot more than girls. They just sit and swipe right on everybody to see what comes through.
Yeah. I feel like Austin's friend is doing that for him. And then Austin's friend is like talking to everyone and stuff and just like setting Austin. Like I feel like Austin's busy like talking with this random girl on AIM who like doesn't know who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very shy. It's very shady.
Like, oh, I'm too famous at my high school. I need to date someone who doesn't know who I am.
Yeah, don't get me.
That's very started. Different from my other Austin boys.
So.
I can't.
Okay, so also the twins, her stepsisters, roll up to the car wash, and they both have their own VW Beetle.
And one has a red one, and one has, like, a yellow one.
It's, like, green, I think.
No, I don't think it was green, because when I was a kid, I wanted the green one. I think it was yellow.
Ew.
No, I know. So, now I'm, like, gross.
Well, either way, they had like matching cars basically, and it reminded me our neighbors at home where my mom lives, they had two daughters who were twins who turned 16 and they both got VW Bugs.
I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah, and they parked them on the street and it was very obnoxious. And
were they different colors?
Yeah, I think so. They weren't bright colors though. One was like gray and one was like cream colored or something like that.
Okay, that's a little bit better.
However, after it was like a week later after their birthday, I was behind one of them going somewhere I passed by and she got into like a car accident and she was fine, but she like totaled her bug. So
she had only one. There was one got
and
smushed.
Like, yeah, and she ended up, they like had to share. It was like we saw this like whole thing. Like they went from each having their own bug to like sharing, and it was like, oh, I would be so pissed if like that happened.
I think I had to share because my idiot sister
got in a car accident, and it was her fault completely. Like I drove past it, and I was like, oh my god, that's my neighbor.
Yeah,
and she wrecked her stupid bug, like ha ha ha. But yeah, and
you're talking so loud, that's what this means. Sorry.
She eventually got a different car, so now they have different cars. But
good,
yeah, it was
does
it,
one of them still have the bug?
I think so.
Wow, that's incredible. So. But
and she got the
what did she get car? Next? A PT Cruiser?
It wasn't a PT Cruiser, it was like something like that. Like it
but that
it
weird
like
truck.
A Fiat or something like that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's like very much the same. Very
Make
much
these
the same
people
thing.
Stop. And I also just want to say, like, I complain about Austin so much. He's like a reverse Nate Archibald in that Nate's dad wanted him to go to Dartmouth, but Nate wanted to go to USC.
Yeah.
And Austin Ames, his dad wants him to go to USC, but he wants to go to Princeton. And I feel like they just need to, like, switch.
Yeah, I think it would work. I don't know how Austin would do in, like, the Upper East Side.
I also feel like Austin wouldn't do that well at an Ivy. Like, he didn't seem that smart.
No, I didn't think so
at
all.
He seemed like an idiot.
Yes. So the moral of that paragraph is, if you get a matching car because you're a twin, God will put a stop to it. God's like, no, no, no. We're not doing that.
God, we
are not playing this game.
So yeah, when Sam gets home from running Fiona's errands after school, she is told that she must work the evening shift at the diner rather than go to the Halloween dance like she'd originally planned. While she's working, Shelby, Austin, and their friends come in and treat Sam like crap when she has to wait on their table, Rhonda, the incredible diner manager and Sam's other best friend, she's literally the reason why people still come to this establishment. She and Carter and all the other diner workers encourage Sam to dip out of work early to go to the dance and finally meet her catfish, Prince Charming. The scene of the kids from school coming in to, like, her place of work gave me PTSD to my frozen yogurt job when, like, kids from my school would come in and, like, a lot of the time be really rude. And,
really?
Yeah, I mean, not all, people were, like, I don't know, it was always, like, the really, like, dumb people that I didn't know that well that were kind of rude, and, like, everyone else was, like, pretty nice, but I don't know. People are weird.
Did you have to wear, like, a weird outfit?
No.
Oh, that's
good. I could wear whatever I wanted.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah.
Because that, like...
Truly, thank God for that. Yeah, it could be... Oh, my God. If I had to wear roller skates, are you kidding?
That's a joke. And
can you imagine me serving frozen yogurt and roller skates? Froller skates?
That would have... I mean, I can, but it's not a great thing.
Awful.
So Sam, Carter, and Rhonda sprint to the costume store and are able to convince the owner to stay open a bit late in order for Sam to try on outfits for the dance.
They, like, give the guy who owns this this costume shop, they give him, like, free breakfast for a month.
Yeah, that's insane.
What?
Not worth it.
Yeah.
After trying on several options, she finally decides to wear a mask from the costume shop and Rhonda's old wedding dress that never gets explained. And she goes as a masked princess, I guess. When they arrive at the dance, Sam takes off her cloak and everyone in the dance gapes at her. Because she's wearing a wedding dress to a costume party.
And she's not the bride of Frankenstein, like Katie Heron.
No, and her dress, like, literally takes up so much space because it's just, like, a big poofy
it's
white
like,
dress.
Like, it's a good thing that Chad Michael Murray is skinny, because if he wasn't, there wouldn't have been room in that gazebo.
And there was just... Everybody's like, oh, she's so beautiful. She looked like she was going to her quinceañera.
She's like a cupcake.
But yeah, and then her hair has, like, the tight curls, and everybody else is wearing Halloween
costumes. When did they curl
her
hair?
Like,
you know what I mean?
I know. Okay.
She shows up with Zorro himself.
Yes. So first of all, cue the classic Hilary Duff runway / fashion show scene. You know,
come
she has to have one. And this is the longest night ever. Like, she's worked a shift. She has,
oh my God.
Like, she has gone shopping and they've gone back to Rhonda's house to get this dress. She's done her hair and makeup.
But apparently this diner stays open until midnight.
Yeah, which, what? Like, I feel like is against the rules of diners, but okay.
That's just, like, against the rules of
feminism. And diners. But they get to the dance at 11,
drive-ins
and they
and
have
dives.
To leave at 11:45. So what's the point of getting all done up for 45 minutes?
How dare you? She has to meet Nomad. What do you mean?
She couldn't have met Nomad, like, in normal clothes?
No.
Like...
She had to be a princess, obviously.
Right.
Also, like, what was his costume? I guess he was supposed to be, like, Prince Charming.
Yeah,
like,
did
shut
they
up.
Like, coordinate that?
That's not a
because
costume.
Then why did she have to try on all the costumes?
No, they
like,
didn't.
There's just
it's
no
a
way
movie.
That coincidence happened.
No.
Because he was supposed to be a Three Musketeer.
No.
All right.
Austin approaches Sam at their designated meeting place on the dance floor, but not before Sam talks to the guy who's now in Big Bang Theory, who just, like, plays this weird
with the
nerd.
Mom.
I don't know, but, like, Sam thinks for a minute that he's Nomad, and he's like, aren't we all nomads or something like that? I don't know. Yes. That's probably not what he said, but, like, that's probably better than what he said.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Anyway, Sam is incredibly skeptical that Austin Ames could be the same guy she talks to on the internet because Sam really has an issue of imagining people complexly. Austin does not recognize Sam and he asks her questions to attempt to discover her identity because she's, like, wearing the mask. While they stroll around the garden. Oh my gosh. Inside, Carter is in a Zorro costume. If you don't know who Zorro is, he's, like, a
Google
fighter.
It.
Yeah, Google it. Z-O-R-R-O. He's in a Zorro costume, and he saves Shelby from being sexually assaulted by some asshole, and Shelby rewards him with a consensual makeout session, which some would say are the best kind.
The only kind.
Yeah, the only acceptable kind.
Outside in the gazebo, Austin and Sam dance to a random, like, string quartet that happens.
Why are
to
they,
there?
Like, no high school dance would have this kind of, like, garden aspect to it, because kids would just be, like, doing drugs and getting
drunk
out there.
Yeah, whatever this venue was, it was way too nice.
It was a hotel, for sure.
Yeah.
They, like, it showed
but, like,
a little hotel
there was,
sign.
Like, a wedding hotel. Venue set up that they were just, like, making their own. Yeah. And apparently the band was still there. They both decide that they're happy they met up, and just as they're about to kiss, Sam's alarm on her phone goes off.
Literally ignore your alarm for 30 seconds,
yeah,
Sam. What is wrong with you?
You power through it, girl. She tells him that she has to go, then takes off to leave, dropping her phone as she goes. Austin isn't able to catch her, but he does find her phone on the ground.
I don't know how, but I completely missed that she, like, dropped her phone.
She, like, had secured it to her shoe or
something?
Do you
remember? It was, like, it was so a flip phone, and she, like, clamped it. Over, like, if this is the strap of her sandal, she, like, clamped it over the strap. So
yeah.
It was, like, split.
One, uncomfortable. Two, no.
It's fine. She probably has really thin ankles, you know?
I'm sure.
I remember in another Cinderella story, the item that she, like, leaves behind is her Zune.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. And
yeah,
he's
I
like, what are the
that.
Top three played songs on your Zune? And it's,
I couldn't,
like,
tell you what the
Ponder top Replay and Hips Don't Lie. Or,
but,
like,
I couldn't
top...
tell you what the top three songs are.
Yeah, but I probably could have in, like, 2007.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I couldn't, but...
So, to avoid getting in trouble, Sam needs to be at the diner before Fiona and her stepsisters arrive at midnight. The twins see Sam in Carter's car as they are all leaving the dance venue. I don't know why they're leaving early. They're in, like, a Siamese cat costume, a Siamese twin cat costume.
That's really funny. I said Siamese cats, not Siamese twins, but
I thought
it was hilarious.
It's like two people in... Okay. They were connected. Anyway... So as they're leaving, Sam begs for Carter to drive faster in his dad's prized Mercedes so that she isn't discovered by her family. And Fiona is suspicious when she arrives at the diner, and the staff is clearly stalling to cover for Sam. But just in time, Sam pops up her little head behind the counter as though she has been there all night, and the crisis is averted. As Carter is leaving the diner parking lot, he swerves to miss hitting Fiona in her car and hits the sign pole. This diner has, like, a giant sign up above it that says Fiona's. And seemingly it does no damage. However, it must have done a little damage as the sign falls onto his dad's car and it, like, explodes. Yes. Do you think that, like, this kid's name being Carter gave Hillary PTSD to Aaron Carter?
I don't think she called Aaron Carter Aaron Carter, though.
I don't know, but, like, I feel like she probably has, like, bad
like a
memories.
Standard first name.
Is it? I feel like she just has bad memories about, like, Aaron Carter. Don't we all?
I mean, yeah, but... I don't know. Like, I don't...
Aaron
you don't
Carter,
know someone
where
by their last
now?
Name.
Well, Mac is cheesy, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the brand. It's the brand.
The brand is craft.
Obviously. No, it's not. It's Velveeta, obviously.
Wow.
Sam assumes that Austin will have...
Ew. It's Velveeta?
Okay. That Austin will have moved on from their encounter at the dance by Monday morning at school. But she's shocked to find the hallways plastered in flyers in search of Cinderella's identity. Still hesitant to reveal herself to Austin, Carter makes a deal with Sam that if he tells Shelby who he is, she must tell Austin as well.
Yeah, because they, like, were both wearing masks for some reason.
Yeah.
But, like... They were wearing masks, and Shelby's still okay with, like, making out with him. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. She agrees, and Carter confronts Shelby by the pool, and she immediately rejects him. Didn't see that one coming. During lunch, Austin's friends have gathered a crowd of girls who claim they are Cinderella, but Austin knows this isn't how he will find Princeton Girl. Somehow. So, at the end...
Austin's, like, really smart.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so the end of this scene, this, like, administrator comes out and, like, breaks everything up. And
the administrator comes, like, every once in a while and shows
yeah,
up.
Yeah, she's,
but
like,
this
pops
is her
in
most
randomly.
Iconic.
It is so funny. She yells at this David guy, and she tells him his shirt is ugly. And
it
then
is.
She starts, like, hitting on Austin's other friend, like, very openly.
I just think this is funny, but I think it's funny.
I don't know why I was laughing so hard. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's one of the funnier scenes.
It is so, it's, like, so inappropriate, and, like, it happens so quickly because she talks, like, really fast, and I'm just like, wait, what? Is she hitting on that guy? And, like, why is she saying, like, you're a bad boy and that shirt is horrible? Like, yes. What? It was a great scene.
Sure. So Fiona finds Sam's Princeton acceptance letter in the mail, and she decides to hide it from her because she's evil so that she won't lose her slave labor. Because, like, Fiona keeps telling Sam, like, oh, people go to college to get a job. And, like, you already have a job, so why do you have to go to college? Which, yeah, like,
who that's... who doesn't want to bust tables for the rest
of your life? Yeah, not ideal.
She ain't DJ James Kennedy.
So, just as Sam is about to confess to Austin, one of the twins barges in to ask when the report Sam is writing for her will be complete. She's going to confess over, like, IM because she's really shy and, like, can't talk to people in person. I don't know. There's something there. Unless she's wearing a mask. And so, yeah. Anyway, Sam's called downstairs to do some sort of manual labor for Fiona. Whatever. It's all the same. And while Sam is out of her room, the twin notices that Sam is messaging Austin Ames. Oh my god, Austin Ames. Austin AIM. I wonder if they were using AIM.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like it. I like Austin Ames, though. I like the name.
I generally don't really like alliterative names that much, but I don't think, like, Austin Ames is bad. You know what I mean? Like, Austin Ames is pretty good. I think
Ames is a good last name.
AIM name. You know? Okay, so the other twin overhears from the doorway, so now both twins drive down to the car wash to convince Austin, who's currently grappling with the idea of telling his dad that he also got into Princeton, that they are the real Cinderella, and they're able to, like, use their chat conversations to, like, convince him.
But they don't at all.
No, he knows. He's not that dumb. Like, he's dumb, but he's not that dumb. Yeah,
like, okay, she had blonde hair, but... Yeah.
You're done.
Not you. Cool. Yeah, not her.
That's Halloween. It could have been a wig. She's wearing a mask. Could have been wearing a wig.
That's true. So, again.
What if. Oh, sorry.
This is my.
She's like a guy in drag.
This is.
Incredible. Game changer.
Okay. Sorry. So this is my eternal, like, thing with the.
That would have been a way better movie.
No.
If she was actually a guy in drag. Sorry.
I don't think. Yeah, that would have been.
I would have been much more interested in that movie.
Can of worms that, like. So, this is one of my my soapbox things that, like, I am get very angry about in these
get
movies.
Get up there, but don't get up too high.
Thanks. As in other movies that we've watched, they just get into Princeton. Like, it's nothing. Like, it's Austin. It's
so easy to get into an Ivy League
exactly.
school.
It's just, if I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I just think it's ridiculous. It gives, you know, this is why millennials have, like, completely skewed perspectives, and we all think that, like, we're special, and because we think it's easy to get into, like, Ivy League schools. Like, we think it's, like, not a big deal.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just one of my things. Also, what kind of parent would just be devastated to find out that their kid not only dreams of attending an Ivy League university, but actually got into one? I feel like that's not something you should, like, be afraid to tell your parent.
No, but I feel like this guy, he's very set in his ways, you know?
Yeah, but,
no,
like,
one's ever stood up to this
like,
man.
I get it. Like, you're an alumni. Like, you care about, you know, like, you care about your school. But, I mean, it's Princeton, you know? It's like, cool, Dad, you know, USC's
it's not like he's going to, like, Cal State Northridge, you know?
No, it's not like...
Nothing wrong with Cal State Northridge. No, I'm sure it's a, like, great school, but it is not Princeton or USC.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't go to the school you went to because I'm going to an Ivy League school. Like, come on, get over it. Like, what do you really want for your child if, like, that's, like, your perspective as a parent? Like, it kind of... You know.
He's a bad parent. Lots of these movies, bad parenting. Parent Trap, bad parenting. Very true. This movie, bad parenting.
Mm-hmm. The twins arrive at the car wash at the same time and realize each other's plans, but Austin immediately knows they are not the real deal when neither knows what Cinderella left behind the night of the dance.
I feel like phone is a good guess. No?
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
They were on the computer. I don't know. You could have, like, deduced that somehow.
Well, she guessed... wallet, and then what did the other girl said, like, something ridiculous. I don't know. It was insane. It was like chicken or something. It was like something like that out there.
Yeah.
So the sisters go mutually apeshit on each other and end up riding a car through the car wash.
Riding a car. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Later that evening, Austin gloomily saunters into the diner and bitches to Sam about taking people's orders, as, you know, she's a waitress.
You know what I'm here for? Using the word bitch to, like, describe men more often. You know what? I feel like anytime a woman asks for anything, they say it's bitching. But, like, we need to, like, use that word for men more. No, he was completely
bitching.
Yeah.
Like, bitching and whining, for sure. So the two have a literal face-to-face conversation, and Austin still does not recognize Sam. So, adding insult to injury.
But this is like the Black Hood. Like, no one can recognize those eyes.
Like, he saw her whole self.
It's, I'm gonna edit that out, so.
At the diner, the music playing in the background, I immediately recognized it. It was a version of To Make You Feel My Love.
I don't know that song. Can you sing it for me?
Adele sings it, or I like the Garth Brooks version, but it's when the rain is pouring in your face. You know that song?
Louder.
No.
When the rain is... What?
You know the song.
No, I don't know the song. Who do you... Nashville cast, Bob Dylan.
Adele. It was written by Bob Dylan.
Let's listen to Bob Dylan then.
No, I hate Bob Dylan. do the Adele version.
I don't see Adele on here.
Or Garth Brooks. Well, that won't be on the internet.
I also don't see Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks, you can't get anything.
DJ Garth is on here.
Yeah, I think that's like, just...
The cast of Nashville.
No, don't do that. Okay, no. That's not how it usually sounds.
I mean, if that's how it's written, that's how it usually sounds. No, but
like, that's like much more upbeat than... It usually is.
When the rain is blowing in. Oh, okay.
Yeah. When they're sitting there having their conversation, To Make You Feel My Love is playing in the background, and I immediately picked up on it. And I love the song. It's like, this has been what I want as my first dance wedding, my wedding first dance song, and I've had it for years. And it made me really happy. Like, usually, like, the score doesn't affect me, but I was just like, this is so cute. Like, I don't care what they're saying.
Yeah, I generally didn't think that they were that cute. I kind of thought they were annoying.
It was weird that they put, like, such a cute romantic song and then, like, had, like, such an awkward conversation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the conversation was super awkward. Because
she was trying to make him feel her love without saying anything. She was trying to get him to recognize her. But he was just being just whiny and annoying. She was.
Blah. All right.
So, at school, the twins spout a ridiculous story about Sam devising a revenge affair plot to steal Austin as a way to garner favor with Shelby, of course. At the pep rally, Shelby and the cheerleaders perform a skit in which Sam and Austin's private email conversations are read in front of the school, and she is mocked for being a diner girl. Like, that's fine. Everyone knows you're a diner girl. Like, chill.
Also, everybody in high school has jobs. Like, yeah, it's not
Austin
like it's
has that... a job. Austin's, yeah. Like, washing cars.
Yeah, he's car wash boy.
Okay. rather than defend Sam, Austin refuses to acknowledge her, and Sam leaves the pep rally in tears. At home, Fiona presents Sam with a fake rejection letter from Princeton, which is devastating.
Yeah. So what Austin did to her is, like, inexcusable. Like, it's fucked up.
I didn't think it was that bad, and also, generally, like, there are very few things high schoolers can do that I find inexcusable. You know, like, they're kids.
I mean, I don't know if that's... I don't know if I agree with that. But, I mean, it's just...
I'm not saying there's nothing. I'm saying there are very few things that they can do that are inexcusable.
Yeah, but, like, if a girl is, like, being openly mocked and, like, ridiculed for something that you 100% have a part of, like, to just, like, to not even, like...
I mean, they were mocking him, too.
Yeah, but, like, he wouldn't even, like, look her in the eye, you know? Like, he wouldn't even, like... I don't know. That's just, like, How, and because
they I had feel like this, he like, was trying to minimize it. Like, I feel like it wouldn't have been that big of a deal if she had minimized it as well. Like, if they just sort of ignored it and let it roll off their backs, no one would have grasped onto it the way they did. But the whole
thing was that they were making fun of her. They weren't making fun of him.
I feel like they kind of were when they were, like, reading his parts of the text, too.
Yeah, but, like, this whole skit part of it was making fun of her. Like, falling down and, like, being... And they said that she wasn't who she said she was. She was a servant girl. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's weird. Yeah. Like, one, like, it's weird to call... Like, the whole diner girl thing is weird. It's weird
to call someone a servant girl.
Yeah, like, she flat out calls her, like, oh, well, she wasn't...
It's like, she's your sister.
She wasn't a princess. She was a servant girl. It's like... I mean, they were very much, like, being mean to her. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, Austin, like, they made him... He's the star football player, and she's a servant girl. Like, I don't... Like, that's just, like, some fucked up shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I still just feel like this wouldn't have been that big of a deal if they hadn't, like, said something. She should have, like, bowed, like, taken it. You know what I mean? Like, and then it would have been, like, oh, look at her.
I feel like her whole life is kind of, like, taking it, though.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I kind of have... I don't like Hilary Duff that much, but, like, I, like, really... I don't know why. Maybe it's, like, hormones or something. But, like, I, like, really felt for her character.
Oh,
like,
maybe. Because I didn't.
But, like...
I was, like, there. She's very much, like, she has no flaws. You know? Like, she just sort of goes through... What do you mean? Why are you making that face?
Like, she's, like, abused, basically.
Yeah, but she's, like, a good person. Like, she's a very basic, one-dimensional character.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, it would... I just, like, even...
I guess so is Cinderella.
But being in that like, high school situation, I didn't love high school, but, like, I didn't hate it either. But, like, yeah. Just, like, that situation, like, would be so shitty. Like, I don't know. I just think, like... Public embarrassment like that, like, is awful.
I guess it would, but I feel like you really can, like, control how... And maybe it's just because, like, we're so... Maybe it's just because we're, like, so far out of it that we'd be like, oh, like, if that happened to someone in high school, who cares? But I guess if you're in high school, that's, like, your whole world.
I feel like it'd be very... similarly, it'd be like if someone, like... showed your nude picture or something like that. Like,
it's very different.
To have, like, your private conversations with somebody you, like, think of romantically, yeah. Like, shared is just, I don't know. That's just,
now it's just Russia releasing emails. It's not, like, you know, these twins.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was sad, but...
So, Olivia, what happens when a guitar falls from the wall of the diner?
I don't know. So a guitar falls from the wall at the diner, and it reveals the Babe Ruth quote, "Never let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game." Underneath, Sam is inspired to finally stand up to Fiona. That's all it took, apparently. She quits her job at the diner and tells Fiona that she is moving out, and Rhonda, the remaining staff, and all the customers walk out of the diner. Rhonda graciously offers up her couch to Sam, where she feels more at home than she ever has with Fiona.
I'm surprised that it took this long for, like, her to just move in with Rhonda, because Rhonda seems great. Like, yeah. I don't...
Like, why didn't Rhonda offer this up previously?
I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway. That night, Sam walks up to Austin in the guys' locker room like a creep. Like, don't do that. Don't go into the guys' locker room. There are so many other opportunities to talk to someone. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But she gives him the ultimate clap back. What are you, a BuzzFeed writer?
Basically.
By telling him that she feels sorry for him because she's proud of who she is and he has to live as someone he isn't. Ooh. Like a good friend... Like a good neighbor, Carter is there. Carter finds Sam at school, and the two decide to attend their first and last high school football game. Oh, they're graduating. Okay, sorry. On the last play of the game, the crowd begins chanting for Austin, and Sam decides it's her time to leave. Austin sees Sam make her way through the crowd and the bleachers to leave, and decides to skip the final play to stop her. Do-do-do-do-do-do. As, I don't know what that was. As he goes in for the
kiss. Yeah, that was, yeah.
The first raindrop to end the drought falls and lands on his cheek. Which is not how droughts work.
No.
It's not. One rain does not a non-drought make.
Yeah, no. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not how weather. Yeah,
I don't. That's not like, how weather.
Practically, yeah. That's not like in practicality. That is not how that works. But then we get the classic line while she's in, which when she goes into the locker room, we get the classic line, and just the dramatics that she delivers it's this so line with.
Dramatic, it's, and so high school, and it, yeah, so
it's
annoying.
It's intense. She says, I know that guy that sent those emails is somewhere down inside of you, but I can't wait for him because waiting for you is like waiting for rain in this drought, useless and disappointing. So my sister and I quote that to each other all the time. Mm-hmm. However, we always put it in like a, I, for some reason, I think I always thought it was from Sweet Home Alabama. So like we say it in like the Reese Witherspoon Sweet Home Alabama accent. So we're like, waiting for you is like waiting for rain in this drought. Useless and disappointing.
Do you say that when, like, one of you is taking forever to get ready?
I don't know. We just, it's kind of like one of those things, like, just one of those quotes.
Oh my god, your Missouri is coming out. What? The accent.
Oh, Missouri accent?
Mm. Sure. Missouri.
Yeah. No one says Missouri, except for politicians.
So, while packing her belongings from her attic room, Sam picks up her previously cast aside fairy tale book, to find that her father's will was tucked inside the entire time. The will states that everything rightfully belonged to Sam, and she gives Fiona and the stepsisters the boot and restores the diner back to its previous glory. Sam and Austin go to Princeton together, and everyone lives happily ever after. At least for now. I'm only a freshman. Was like literally the last line of the movie. And I was like,
because couples notoriously stay together through college.
Yeah. Just wait until Dumpsgiving, girl. So real.
Yeah, true. True, true, true. So overall comments, I actually liked this movie more than I remember. The plot moved very like nicely and quickly, which was a huge plus. It really just like changes the game for the movie, like with how much I like it. Like if the plot is moving, I'm much more happy. I'm much more satisfied in the end.
I just found like the writing so bad.
Oh yeah.
And it was
I
hard.
I cannot stand that we're supposed to feel bad for Austin.
No, like, I don't.
That's a joke.
Literally,
like,
at
I'm
all.
So sorry you're misunderstood while this girl is like being abused and is literally like a slave to her stepmother.
My dad wants me to get an education so I can take over his business. And like, ugh, I can't believe that.
And like, if you just had like proper communication skills, you wouldn't have those issues. Like, if you just told your dad, just, like, I want to go to Princeton, he'd probably be cool.
Tell your dad that. Tell your friends that they suck. Tell Shelby that you hate her, which I guess he did.
Yeah.
But like,
she wasn't
things,
listening.
He just can't. And communicate.
Yeah, no, and yeah, the whole thing with it, and like he made it seem like that it was like affecting his life, and it's like, just tell your dad you want to go to Princeton.
You're fine.
Like, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. So who's your character to keep an eye on? Mine is Rhonda.
Yeah, I kind of figured you'd say that. I don't know. I don't really like any of the characters that much. Like
Carter, that weird professor lady, teacher.
Oh yeah. I'll go with her. Okay. She was a lot.
Sure. What's your rating for this movie?
I think I'm gonna go 3.5.
I'm gonna give it a 3. I thought you were gonna go higher than 3.5.
I enjoyed it, but it's not like the best.
It's
enjoyed
like
it
more life-changing.
Than, yeah, no. Definitely not.
It's no High School Musical.
Absolutely not.
So we don't have a game
this
week. Sorry. I don't know what we'll talk about next week. I'll add it in later. That's been the podcast. You can find us on our website, tbtamp.com. You can vote for what movie you want to see us cover next. You can shop. You can view episode descriptions. I don't know. You can do whatever you want to do. Listen to the podcast on your desktop. It's easy. I can hear Olivia typing. It's like some nice ASMR. Also, I'd suggest rate and review the podcast on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps us.
Scroll the bottom. Give us 5 stars. It's
literally,
so easy.
It's the easiest thing that you will ever do. And we want
it helps
more.
Us so much.
5-star ratings because we are greedy. You know?
Yeah, we've been told they make a difference. I don't know how, but in the universe,
apparently they do. You know what else makes a difference, Olivia? Telling a friend.
Oh, yeah. Spread the word of TBT as you would Jesus Christ. This is your mission in life.
Or if you're an atheist, do it anyway. You know?
Whatever. Like, spread it like herpes. Syphilis is serious, guys.
90% of the people to carry this podcast in their pocket as they do the herpes virus.
Yeah, 1 in 4, guys. 1 in 4.
Oh, I thought it was way higher than that.
Oh, I know. When I was in high school, it was 1 in 4. That was our statistic.
Yeah.
That
got shoved down our throats. Mouth herpes is pretty common. Everybody gets cold sores. I don't, but everybody else does.
Yeah, I don't. I don't. But when I see one, it's like, Yeah. And if you want to follow us on our personal Instagrams or Twitters, you can find me, Olivia, at Mac is Cheesy. That is at M-A-C-K is Cheesy.
Yeah. What kind of cheese is it? Gouda?
I do.
My favorite's Gouda.
Feta. I think maybe feta. Ooh, I love a feta cheese.
I mean, it's fine, like, in a salad, but I'm not, like, my favorite cheese is a feta. I think it's, like, mozzarella. I love mozzarella. Nice melted mozzarella.
I like a mozzarella on a pizza, for sure.
Incredible. Like, okay. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Tell me what your favorite kind of cheese is. I'm at Miranda Johnson, MirandaJohnZon, and you can find the podcast at TBTAMP on Instagram and Twitter.
You just quoted She's the Man, like... But what's your favorite cheese?
No, I said my favorite's Gouda earlier.
I know, but it's like,
oh my god, you didn't even like
cheese, man. No, like I knew it was like the whole time, but I'm just like wanted it to like be exact, whatever. I was trying to give you your space. Sure.
Thank you.
Your platform. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, let's go record a minisode.
See you on Tuesday.